CTV.
From my backyard in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with a little wind going on here, this is your friend and mine, Martin Zender. The wind picks up here as I begin. First order of business is I need to thank a beloved subscriber in Ohio named Larry, who sent me a care package yesterday. It was incredible. He sent me like six Cuban cigars, and this one in particular, this is a rare Cuban, and it's supposed to be the best. And it's a shame I have to light it with a butane, but I don't have any matches on me, so I'm going to deface. Look at that. Look, it says Cuba. Look at that. See that? No, can you see that? Ho ho. I'm going to, you know, reduce its value in half by lighting it with a gas lighter, but it's the way it's gotta be. Today I'm gonna talk to you about the so-called Great Commission in Matthew 28. Oh yeah, Christianity loves this thing. They think they're on it. They think that the great, wow, this cigar is very nice. Christians think that the Great Commission is their commission, even though Jesus Christ is telling this to his disciples just before he leaves for heaven. And there are several clues in the context that will tell us why this so-called Great Commission has not even started yet. And anyone attempting to do it today is completely out of time with God's program and is doomed to frustration and failure. Whereas, when you are embarked on the right evangelistic message, then I'm telling you, the gates are open to you. You have a yellow brick road, and you are in God's perfect timing to declare the message that I am declaring, for instance, which is the grace of God. For instance, no, this is the only message today that really should be going out. Now, you've heard me say that the circumcision evangel is taught some places, yes. But there's, in intelligent circles, there's no presumption that they're teaching the Great Commission. There's no presumption that this is the Great Commission mentioned by Jesus Christ himself in Matthew 28. That's a presumption. And any practical experience would tell you that it ain't working. And not even the disciples did it. The people Jesus was talking to have not done it yet. And there are clues in the passage that will tell us that, and I'm going to delve into those now. Matthew 28, verse 16. And Larry, thank you for, did I say he gave me a bottle of Kentucky bourbon too? Not just cigars, Kentucky bourbon. If you want bourbon, there's no place like Kentucky. In fact, I think you can only call it bourbon if it's from Kentucky. And as far as Cuba and cigars, need I say more? He also sent me some kettle-cooked popcorn. That is very tasty and delicious. So thank you very much for that care package. Anybody wants to send me a care package? I've never turned one down yet. Kind of like Red Cross, you know. It parachuted in, right? A plane came over, flew low, and dropped me a emergency supplies here. I'm on the front in the trench. And so every little thing helps. Yeah, this is a real luxury here for sure. All right, Matthew 28, starting with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus arranges with them, and perceiving him, they worship him, yet they hesitate. Why the hesitation, gentlemen? And approaching, Jesus speaks to them, saying, given to me was all authority in heaven and on earth. Going then, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to be keeping all whatever I direct you. Whatever I direct you, that's the word I should emphasize there. And lo, I am with you all the days till the conclusion of the eon. Amen. Lots of clues here, lots of words, every single word we need to analyze here, or we're going to miss the boat. And worse, we're going to embark upon a boat we're not even supposed to be on. We're going to be laboring at a task that we're not supposed to attempt, and we will be frustrated beyond belief unless we're in some kind of cult, which can somehow transmute failure into success. Speaking of the Christian religion, they imagine they're having success in the face of failure. But this great commission will not fail when it's time for it. That's what I've been talking about, I think, these last couple days. It's the timing of God. When the timing of God is right, then everything's easy. When the timing of God is wrong, then you are beating a dead horse and you will go to bed weeping every night because you're such a failure. And at the end of this show, I'm going to tell you how to be a success in evangelizing. Yes, a total success that will actually help your fellow human beings and will score points for you in the next life. We all want that, don't we? Not saying we earn our salvation, I'm just saying you can score points. Kind of like the bonus round, kind of like Double Jeopardy. I'll tell you how to do that. But first, given to me was all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ has all authority, but in case you haven't noticed, he has not yet exercised his authority. This is what is going to happen at the end of this eon that is foreshadowed by the days of tribulation. All authority is given to him, and there will be a public display when he exercises it, but he's not yet exercising it. I mean, when he's talking to his disciples, he's ready to go back into heaven, and there's 11 people here. This epic, momentous thing, Jesus Christ having raised from the dead, going back into heaven, all authority was given to me. And if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, they ask the question around this time. They say, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? In other words, are you at this time going to exercise the authority and the power that has been given you by God? Jesus Christ says, not yours to know the times or the seasons. No, he couldn't tell them that it wasn't time yet because he needed them to proclaim the kingdom vociferously and enthusiastically in Jerusalem, to give the people of Israel yet another opportunity to reject him, which they did, of course. That's what they do for a living, reject Jesus Christ, and they're still doing it. Going then, disciple all the nations. Say, Martin, why is Jesus mentioning the nations? We know that the circumcision gospel is for Israel. Paul is the apostle of the nations. Now, but remember, the Abrahamic covenant promises blessing to the nations through Israel, right? As a promise God made to Abraham back there in Genesis chapter 12. Through you and your seed, all the nations of the ground shall be blessed. And this, the disciples would have known of that promise. They lived for that promise. They ate, slept, and breathed that promise. And it sure seemed like it was on the cusp here in Matthew 28. Why wouldn't it be? The Messiah himself is on the earth. He died and was raised from the dead 3 days later, according to prophecy. Yeah, if I was on the earth then, I would have thought it was hot times in Jerusalem. That would have been my questions. Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? I probably would have been a little more direct, like, or is it coming down today? Is it coming down today? Are we going to kick out the Romans today, take our proper place of authority and power? Not yours to know the times or the season. No, he said it's just not yours to know, and he stopped there. You would think that if the disciples took this, and it does sound like it, I admit, going then, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Either the disciples took this and totally dropped the ball and were totally lazy, didn't take it seriously, either that, which sounds highly unlikely to me, either that, or they understood at the time that this was not meant to be fulfilled in their day. Because if you read the book of Acts, not one of them, well, Peter went to one guy in the nations. If they thought that this was for their lifetime, then surely they would have done what it says, going then disciple all the nations. They would have been on ships. They would have traveled. They would have broken up. It's like, okay, Andrew and Peter, you go to Mesopotamia. Philip and Matthew, we're going to send you to Ethiopia. They would have gotten a plan. They would have had a war room. They would have pulled the map down. They would have had a pointer, and they would have delegated and they would have gone and started doing this. But they didn't. They never left Israel. Peter was eventually ended up in Babylon, but he's there kind of retired. He's not bringing anybody in the nations. Peter only talked to one guy on record of the nations, and that was Cornelius. One guy. Not exactly a fulfillment of disciple all the nations. Peter, disciple all the nations. All right, does this count? I'll go to one guy in Joppa, in Caesarea, Cornelius. Does that count? No, it doesn't count. And it's not it, and Peter knew it wasn't it. I'm going to tell you why as we get to the end here. Oh, and they never baptized, nobody in Acts ever baptized according to this formula. Yes, because if you think this is the Great Commission, and if you think that this is for today, then you can't play around with it. You can't improvise on it. You can't freelance this. You have to do what it says. Baptize with water. You have to take water everywhere and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is a formula. Yes, it is. I am sorry, but it is. It's a formula. No disciple of Jesus Christ ever baptized anyone on record in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They would baptize people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, that's close enough, Martin. No, it's not close enough. There's no such thing as close enough. Either you do it right or you don't. And they didn't. And here's why. And then Jesus says, teaching them to be keeping all, whatever I direct you. That includes the law of Moses. Because Jesus said, obey my commandments. That was the law of Moses. And then this is the key, the last line. This should tell you something. And lo, I am with you all the days till the conclusion of the eon. The eon. The is in dark face type in the concordant version at the end of Matthew 28. Going to show it to you here. Gonna show it to you. Can you see the end of Matthew 28? And lo, I am with you all the days till the conclusion of the eon. See that? Do you see it? It's in dark face type, which means it's in the Greek text, and it's singular, the eon. It's not any eon, it's the eon. Which eon would he be talking about? My educated guest tells me it's the kingdom eon. And besides, he says, lo, I am with you all the days till the conclusion of the eon. Well, he couldn't be talking about that eon because these fellers here died. Within like maybe 40 years, they were all dead. And this eon's still going on. This eon is the same eon that these men were walking in, the same eon where Jesus gave them this commission. And this eon's still going on. But they're all dead, so how is it that he's with them till the conclusion of the eon? And I remind you of this. These were men who actually were with Jesus Christ. They were with him physically. So if you tell these guys that you're going to be with Jesus Christ, they take that quite literally. We tend to say, yes, Jesus is with me. He's in my heart. He's with me. But these guys never thought of it that way. Why? Because they were actually with him physically, and that's how they would have taken this. Lo, I am with you. But then right after he says, I am with you, he goes up into heaven. I'm with you to the conclusion of the eon. Then he gets on the divine elevator and he's gone in the clouds. How is it that he's with them? And remember, they would have taken it literally, as they should, because they were actually with him. They wouldn't have understood with you any other way than physically with them. However, in the kingdom eon, he will be with them for the entire fourth eon, the kingdom eon, until the conclusion of that eon. So the only way, and at that time, they will be baptizing all the nations. And I guarantee to you that they will be doing it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They will be using that specific formula. Yes, it is a formula. And that is a formula that was never used in the book of Acts by any of these gentlemen. They baptized in the name of Jesus. Never said this. Because they knew it was future. And in the kingdom eon, they will be going into all the nations and discipling all the nations. We know that. All the nations are going to come stream into Jerusalem for the feasts. And they will be observing the feast. And they will, all the nations will bring their tribute to Jerusalem. And then the 144,000 will be going about the entire earth as the emissaries of the 12 who are headquartered in Jerusalem. Guess who they're with? With Jesus Christ, who is the king and priest of that kingdom in Jerusalem. So this only makes sense when you look at, I'm with you, the conclusion of the eon. It's the future eon, not this one. And they understood that. I admit that when it says going, then disciple all the nations. It's interesting that he didn't say go. He says going. There's just something funny about it. But the fact that they didn't do anything he said, either they're losers, either they're layabouts, either they dropped the ball big time, or they understood that this was future. So now we come to the present Christian contingent. Oh boy, I need another draw of the Cuban for this. Hang on. Oh crap, I let it go out. Even cigars they make in Cuba eventually go out if you don't properly keep them lit or consistently draw from them. The Christians today think that this is their charge. They take it upon themselves. They like exciting charges. Well, of course, we all do. But they look at this and they see it as them. They're supposed to do this. But the one thing I tell people who say they're doing this, I say, well, do you baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? You have to pour water on people. Do you do that? If you don't, why not? You have to do that. That's the formula. And are you teaching people to do the Ten Commandments? Because that's what Jesus is talking about here. Teaching them to be keeping all whatever I direct you. What does he direct you? His commandments. The commandments. The law of Moses. If you think you're supposed to be doing this today, then you have to be out teaching the law of Moses. No, but what does Christianity do? They cherry pick the Bible. They take a little bit out of Paul, a little bit out of Matthew, a little bit out of the Old Testament, a little more out of Paul. They mix it all up. It's a mess. It's not even consistent. They're not doing it. But they pretend that they're successful. We're gonna do it. No, they're not reaching anybody. People are turned off by them. People are running away from them. This is not drawing people in. People will think, we have this great commission, and it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. No, it's not time for it. Like I told you, it's not time for it. And when it's not time for it, you're going to be pushing a ball uphill. Yeah, it's doomed. Give up. Give up, Christians. Give up. You're missing it. It's the next eon, not this one. You only missed it by one eon. That's not bad, I guess. Here's the message for today. It's God is conciliated to the world through Christ. Israel is still on hold. But there is a message that's for today. There is a message that should be going out today. It is not this message. It is not the law of Moses message. And it doesn't require baptism in water with a particular formula. No, there's no water baptism at all with this message that we are heralding today. It's the message of the transcendent grace of God that came to us through the Apostle Paul. It is the declaration that God is at peace with the world, that Jesus Christ died for sin, and that he was successful. Imagine that. Successful in taking away the sin of the world. And now we proclaim that God is at peace with the world because he has justified the entire race because his sacrifice took us back to Adam and pulled up humanity by the root, that we should all become a new humanity. Preach this message and people will come. Preach it and they will come. And this message is the timing. It's the timing. It's right time for this message. This is the only message. Well, it's not the only message, but this is the power message. Not obey the law, obey the Ten Commandments. Not even the circumcision gospel can be done today because Israel doesn't have a temple. The circumcision gospel is still on hold, but this is the active, proactive message of grace. It's the gospel of Paul, that God is conciliated to the world. Preach it and enjoy great success, so much so that you can even smoke Cuban cigars.